Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe, and as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Now, friends, the past 3 months, I've been under a strain and all that stuff, but who isn't? I'm not feeling sorry for myself. I'm kind of excited. What's going to happen next? How God's going to lead us? How God's going to direct our lives? Well, listen, we're going to have some more snow tonight, I guess. But I want you to kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Here's the thought for the day. To be sorry for the needy is not the mark of a Christian. To help them is. Well, friends, tonight I'd like to speak on a subject, Be Thou Clean, and I'm reading from Matthew 8:1-4. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately this leper was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, See then, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Well, after the Sermon on the Mount, the people were astonished by the teachings of Jesus. We read in John 7:28, And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended those sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. The people with whom Jesus was speaking were religious, but they were lost. One could not be around Jesus very long to know that he was something very, very special. Now his powerful words would be demonstrated by deeds. Jesus had just come down from the mountains to minister to the people. Now the multitudes followed him and were met by a leper. No, the multitude were not in the mood for lepers. The leper was an outcast from the city. He had a terrible disease. And not only would people would not come near him, some professing Christians feel that way about inmates in prison. Some thinks they're scum of the earth. They're losers. And even Jesus didn't love them. Well, if this is your attitude, dear friends, Jesus loves that prisoner more than he loves you. The sermon that the multitudes heard had put the multitude on a spiritual high. As a baby Christian, I used to sit spellbound as Brother Tom preached the gospel. You know, friends, great sermons are to be to prepare us to care and to serve. When I tell you that soul winning is the greatest joy a Christian can have, I mean that. And I want you, too, to get involved with soul winning. When I tell you the joys of tithing, I want you also to receive the blessings of God and to be obedient to Him. The Bible tells lepers picture what sin had done to all who were unclean. Now, it tells in Romans 3:10-12, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is no one who seeketh after God. According to the Bible, our sins have earned us death, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Boy, I like to tell people that the gift of God. Well, through Jesus Christ our Lord, you see, we get paid wages for our sin. But if we will turn from our sins, He will give us eternal life through His Son Jesus. Hebrews 9:27, and it says, it is appointed once for men to die, but after this, the judgment. The saved and the unsaved shall stand before Jesus someday and be judged for our sins. Many who follow Christ have no compassion on the unclean. Too many people only want the Lord to save respectable people. Luke 9:10, Jesus came to seek and to save those that were lost. Now, let us look at verse 2, the leper and Christ. The leper came and worshiped Jesus. The leper called him Jesus Lord. Here is a man who has been an outcast. He has no friends. He was in terrible pain, and no one really seemed to care. But the leper knew that Jesus cared. Wasn't it Peter who said, casting all your care upon for? He careth for you. You remember the thief on the cross who cried out. Luke 23, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now here was a thief. But while hanging on the cross, he recognized Jesus as the Son of God who died to save sinners. The first thing you need to be saved is to recognize Jesus. Recognize that you're a sinner and call for Jesus with a repentant heart. And you too will be remembered by Jesus and be saved. You remember the woman taken in adultery? Oh, how those Jews wanted her destroyed. But Jesus said, go and sin no more. Many Christians look down their nose at homosexuals and lesbians, alcoholics, drug addicts. But I'm here to tell you, John 3:16 is still in effect. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Excuse me, I'm going to have a little drink of juice here. Oh, I watered that down too much. It's not very strong. Well, this leper believed Jesus could do anything, and He can still do miracles. the greatest miracle He performs today is when He takes lost person and gives them eternal life. Some will say, healing a blind man is the greatest miracle. No, friends, when He saves us from eternal damnation, that is the greatest of all miracles. Jesus would move with compassion for the leper. And Jesus moved with compassion, for He put forth His hand and touched him and said to him, I will, be thou clean. Compassion is to feel what another feels. The first thing I think of when a person dies, were they ready? And then my heart goes out to the ones who were left behind. I have had in my own personal family lost two brothers, two sisters, a mother and a dad. It was a terrible thing to experience. And I wasn't saved when my sis and my mother and my dad died. And it was horrible. But when my two brothers died, I was a Christian, and so were they. See, Jesus identifies with the pain of the dying man. You know something else? He also identifies with your pain. He knows how you're hurting tonight. Maybe you just buried a loved one. Maybe you were told of your loved one who is dying with an incurable disease. He wants to comfort you by His Holy Spirit. Friends, He really is concerned about you tonight. Now, I know there's some people listening tonight who really have troubled hearts. Oh, friends, there's so many people losing their homes. So many people have lost their jobs. They don't know what to do. And the only advice I can do, tell you, is turn your eyes toward Jesus and look in His beautiful face. You say, well, Cecil, didn't God say He'd take care of us? Yes, He did. But you know, friends, the first thing you need to do after you're saved, get baptized and join a local church, you need to find out what God wants for your life. He wants you and I to tithe 10% of all that we have. A lot of people say, oh, I get it, Cease. You're asking God that you're buying your way into heaven. No, siree. You will never buy your way into heaven. God cannot be bought. It was His Son Jesus. Before the foundation of the world, God had planned for His Son to come into the world and die for you and me. Oh, He had planned. This wasn't a mistake when Adam and Eve messed up in the garden. This didn't take God by surprise. He knew what they were going to do. Well, His plan was already in effect, that Jesus someday would come into the world as a human being, and He would show you and I. He would walk with us. He would talk with us. He chose His 12 disciples to turn this world upside down for Jesus, and they did just that. You know, Christianity, so many people got a real dumb concept of Christianity. Well, I'm going to repent of my sins. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to join church. Then I'm going to sit in the pew. That's your Christianity. Is your Christianity going to church on Monday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night prayer meeting? Is that what your Christianity consists of? Well, you haven't found it then. I'm not saying you're not saved, but you've not found the abundant life. The abundant life is when we get busy for Jesus and roll up our sleeves. We have a job. Every born-again Christian has a call upon their lives. Very few take that call seriously. I never dreamed, beyond my wildest dream, that God would call me to preach. And I've told you before, when I was laying in that federal pen in Fairbanks, Alaska, scared out of my socks, that someday I would have the privilege of going halfway around the world, preaching the gospel, television, radio, been a director of 3 rescue missions. I was inducted to the who's who of Christian leadership. I didn't deserve that, but I got it. I didn't deserve it. But that's what God can do for you or for me if we will sell out. You say, I don't have any talents. That's not true. The day you're born again, you have one talent. Now, what are you going to do with it? You're going to bury it like the other guy did, or are you going to put it to work? If you take that one talent and work on it, I'll guarantee you God's going to give you more talents. Hey, friends, I don't know one note from another on the organ or the piano, but I've written songs. I can play the organ in church like anyone else in the piano. How'd I get that? Well, I'll tell you how I got it. When I was a little boy in the Dalles, Oregon, we used to go to the Granada Theater. That's when they had no talkie movies, all, you know. And they had a big organ in that thing. And this organist would get up there and play that organ. And I used to tell my mom, Mom, you know, when I get old, that's what I want to do, to be able to play that. Oh, I loved organ music. Oh, she said, honey, that's just for the rich and those people. I said, I'm going to do it someday. Now, after I was saved, of course, I played the piano since I was 4 years old, by ear. After I was saved, I was going to get a physical examination. And right across from the doctor's office was an organ company. And while I was a little bit early, I thought, well, I'll go in there. I walked in this organ company, and I said, sir, could I sit down and play one of those? Sure. He set me up and set the things, and I sat down. And I was going to play some worldly music, because that's all I knew, practically. Of course, I knew a few hymns. And all I could play was What a Friend I Have in Jesus. And I said on that organ stool that day, oh God, if you'll teach me to play that organ, I'll play for you anytime, anywhere, any place. And God did teach me. Yes, he did. I've had some beautiful organs in my home. I've had Allen organs. I've had good organs. So I know in my own experience, and God knows that this man is not a very smart man. I am not. But I love Jesus, and he loves me. Jesus identifies with the pain of the dying man. You know something else? He also identifies with your pain. He knows how you're hurting tonight. Maybe you just buried a loved one. Or maybe you were told one of your loved ones is dying with an incurable disease. He wants to comfort you by his Holy Spirit. Friends, he really is concerned about you tonight. As you all know, I've been very sick these past 12 months. Now, I've been in terrible pain in my heart. I talk to the Lord daily about my hurts. And I know he answered prayer many times in my behalf. Sometimes sickness can be a blessing in disguise. Jesus, excuse me, touched the untouchable. Please let me ask you tonight, who have you touched recently for Jesus? Someone is watching you every movement. That is, if you claim to be a Christian. Sometimes you need to witness to someone in your church, your paper boy, where you purchase your gas, and on and on. I know people who won't go with me to the rescue mission because they don't think there's any hope for them men and women down there. Sure, there's a lot of mentally ill people in Skid Row, but there's a lot of people who just lost their... Hey, you know what? One time, this is a good story. One time, a man came to my mission, and he was drunk, and we took care of him for 3 days. When he got ready to leave, I said, well, don't you think you owe the mission something? No, we never charge for our services. But I mean something he could do just an appreciation. Well, did you know what he did? He said, well, I'll do something. What do you want? I said, well, those floors need to be taken care of. They're tile, and they need to be cleaned up. And he cleaned that whole mission tile floors. Marvelous job. Stayed with us for about a month. I don't know how long, a month and a half. One day, he walks into my office. And he had a suit on. I didn't know him. I didn't know the man. He tossed an airline ticket over on my desk. Told me that he was an executive in a big company in Seattle. And his brother wanted him back. He got caught up in booze and ended up in Skid Row. So you never know who is in that Skid Row. You don't know. But do you look down your nose at people who are poor and needy? If you do, ask God to forgive you for your terrible sin. Well, the leper was made clean, Matthew 3:4-8. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see that you tell no man, but go thy way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Well, Healing, like salvation, is an instantaneous. And remember when Zacchaeus was saved between the limb and the tree and the ground? I will be thou clean. Jesus longs to make people clean. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. As unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as far, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Imagine the joy of the cleansed leper. 1 John 1:7-9. But if thou walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus said, go and show thyself to the priest. That was to confirm the cleansing as found in the book of Leviticus. Let me ask you, like the leper, have you been cleansed? Have you been born again? No matter what your past has been, Jesus can make you clean. I was a terrible alcoholic for many years, a disgrace to my family, to my wife, to my children. Oh, my stars, I am so thankful that all my sins are under the blood of Jesus. He wiped me clean. No more to worry about sin. Oh, we have to be on our toes. Be therefore perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. But what we need to do is keep our eyes on Jesus. Say, Lord, what do you wanted for my life? Here am I, send me. I'm willing. Are you able? Are you ready to serve the Lord? Let me tell you what. Right now, he's standing out with outstretched arms. And he's saying, come unto me, all your labor and heavy laden. He knows about your broken heart. He knows how hurt you are tonight. Maybe you've been hurt in your church. That happens. It's sorry, but sometimes it happens. Don't turn your back on Jesus because you got hurt in the church. God didn't want you to be hurt. Well, listen, you say, Cecil, you know, you're always talking about a tugging at your heart. Well, do you have a tugging at your old heart tonight? If so, would you bow your head with me right now? If you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, you can settle it right now. And here's how the prayer goes. Dear Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I confess that I'm not saved. I'm unclean. And oh God, I want Christ to come into my heart and save me tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer, you get on the phone. You call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Oh, beloved, I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. Will you give me a call? If you can't afford the call me collect. I'll accept the charge. 303-471-8534. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I thank you so much for listening. Oh, friends, if I can help you spiritually, get on the phone and give me a call. I'm not the smartest man. Don't know all the answers, but God's got them in his book, and we can look them up if I don't know, because everybody has problems. Everybody has needs, but our God is able. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. Well, friends, be sure and pray for our health. Gene and I've got some examinations. I got to go to the doctor this next 2 weeks. I pray that I'll pass them. They're checking for a cancer again. Well, listen, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.